Before we continue, let us look to God in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O God, for Thy love for us, for Thy care, for Thy keeping, but above all else, O Lord, thank You, Lord, for saving us, for giving to us eternal life in Christ Jesus, and to experience the joy of salvation and the privilege to be called Your children. Help us, O Lord, never to feel like we are orphans, but we always have You, and You're always there to hold our hands, to lead us, and to guide us through all the troubled waters and all the difficulties that the world is going through right now, with great confusion and uncertainty from all four quarters of the world. And in Thee and Thee alone, we are able to find peace, joy, and safety. We pray, Father, that as we continue to study the book of James, may Thy Holy Spirit be our teacher once again tonight. Cleanse us and wash us of all our sins by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that even as we approach Thy throne of grace and mercies and to be seated at the feet of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to instruct us out of Thy wonderful book of life. We pray, Lord, that Thy Holy Spirit may minister to our hearts through Thy Holy Spirit and through the word of life. Forgive me, O Lord, of all my sins. Cleanse my lips and my heart of every transgression. May I be a vessel fit and cleansed for the Master to use tonight. Help me, Lord, to accurately, faithfully teach Thy word of life, that those who listen may truly experience the joy of life everlasting in Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, that Thy Holy Spirit will also bring to remembrance the word of life. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Promotion. He shall lift you up. Verse 10b. Let me read to you the three verses from James chapter 4. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. That's where we get the title, Know the Secret to Promotion. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another, or judgest another? Amen. May God bless us in the reading of His most holy and sacred word. Promotion, as you know, is something that the world strives toward. The moment we enter into the world of education, into the world of employment, promotion is the only song that everyone sings. Promotion from P1 to P2 to P3, and that's exactly the word that is used, promotion. We do not want our children to be left behind. We want them to be promoted to the next level. And this promotion doesn't seem to have an end. When they enter into the working world, we continue to desire to be promoted. Very often, when you enter into a company, you are the new probation officer, the probie, they call you. Whether you are a lawyer or whatever profession that you do, you are at the mercies of the seniors. They will instruct you, they will guide you, they will teach you. And so you seek your own promotion in the months, the years ahead, so that when a new batch of new employees join your company that you are working in, you will become their seniors, and so on and so forth. Promotion doesn't seem to end. and you like to go to the very top. Now, once you arrive at the very top, let's say you are there. I'm sure many of us will find that there are a lot of younger ones, newer ones beneath you, who are now trying to topple you. They are trying to replace you because now there is only one top post. There's not going to be two. And you have so many people vying for the top post. And so they will try their best to unseat you and bring you down. But you want to hold on. You do not want to be demoted. You want to be promoted and remain in the position until maybe your retirement, until the end. Until you say, well, I want to step down on my own. I do not want to be forced out. So it's more than just simply promotion, but to arrive there without being removed, demoted. But what is the secret? Now, this is the world out there. Within Christianity, we face a far more serious danger because we do not just simply have people trying to bring us down, but we will have the devil himself and his minions. How many thousands or millions of fallen angels at his beck and call, we simply do not know. We only know that out of all the angelic beings that God created, according to Romans 12, 1/3 of them fell with Lucifer. When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, 1/3 of all the angelic beings that God created decided, each and every one of them on their own, decided to join him. And how many millions or thousands made up this 1/3? We do not know. But they will be at his beck and call to try to bring down believers. Believers, like the world, can also engineer their own promotion. And that's where the danger comes. When we engineer our own promotion, you will do so by the arm of the flesh, very similar to that of the world. But within Christianity, within Christendom, and instead of over companies, over the lives of people who work in that company, now you use church politics, you use money power, you use whatever that is available, similar to that of the world, to promote yourself. But this time round, we are now talking about the souls of men, women, and children that the Lord Jesus Christ had redeemed with his precious blood. And now you find yourself in a seat of position and authority, promoting yourself by your own means and methods. Not so spiritual, but nevertheless, you got yourself there. And now you have to make decisions whether to build up the spiritual well-being of these individuals. The number, the size, does it really matter? Whether it is 40, 50 over a fellowship group or 100, or to be in the position of a session member over the entire congregation. Bear in mind that these are God's children. These are not just number. These are not just simply computers. These are not just simply some product in a company. These are lives that the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed, allowed them to remain here on earth, brought them into the church to be fed, so that they will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they will be well taught, well armed and prepared before they enter into the world to face the onslaught of the evil one in the dangerous battlefield out there. And the church is supposed to be the citadel for them to find solace, to find spiritual well-being, true, genuine, sincere brothers and sisters in Christ that will provoke them unto love and to good works. And so we need to find out the secret to biblical promotion, not just promotion, biblical promotion, whereby men like young Joseph, men like teenage children like Daniel and his three friends, they were promoted. And they remained in their position of high office, and there was no record in the scripture of their fall. They remained just as spiritual, if not more so, before promotion and after promotion and years into their promotion. They remained faithful and true to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is their secret? And I believe that that secret is revealed to us in these three verses of James chapter 4. The first is self-degradation. Self-degradation. Humble yourselves. See, humility is something that must come from within. If someone were to humble us, it's a very bitter pill to swallow, isn't it? If someone were to humble us, that means someone were to publicly humiliate us. That may not bring forth the kind of biblical, obedient reaction. Instead, it might be the opposite. We might want to retaliate. We might even want to have our revenge on that person who publicly humiliated us. And that is why this humble yourselves is something that we need to do. We need to humble ourselves. Sometimes God may use some external forces or people to humble us when we refuse to do so. But why should we stubbornly refuse to do so and wait until the Lord, through some chastisement or through some admonishment or through some failures on our part, before we humble ourselves? Is it so hard for a truly born-again child of God who has been endowed with the mind of Christ, which is one of humility, according to Philippians chapter 2, to humble ourselves? Self-degradation. But what exactly is this humility that the Bible speaks of? Is this something that we falsify? Because in our culture, false pretense is perhaps very common. Still remember, when you enter into somebody's house, you're extremely thirsty. When someone offer you a nice cool drink, our usual custom is, no thank you. But you're really thirsty. Why do you say no thank you? Well, they call it paise, right? We do not want to inconvenience the other person. So we just simply say, it's okay, no thank you. Our culture, instead of just simply, very much like the West, say it as it is. Thank you very much for the offer of a nice drink. Very, very happy to have one. I am extremely thirsty, please. I welcome a very nice cool drink. We usually do not respond in that manner. We just simply say, well, it's okay, it's all right. But in our heart, we are parched. We want a drink. But that is not what this humble yourselves mean. The Lord is telling us, humble yourself, because we are supposed to do that as believer. You see, sometimes when we have been believers for so long, and then when we are in office, in leadership position, promoted to offices in the church, pardon the use of the word promotion. It should not be used as promotion, because to become an elder, to be a pastor, to be a deacon, is not to be seen as a promotion like the world, because these are titles that describe the responsibilities of the office we hold. So it is not supposed to be seen as a promotion, but just simply to borrow that term concerning the Lord shall lift us up, put us into positions of responsibilities over God's flock. What is the secret of biblical lifting up? Whereby it is truly one of genuine, sincere humility. Because it is before the Lord, in the sight, in the very face of the Lord himself. That's the literal translation of the sight. In the face of the Lord. Before the Lord. It's not before man. Because if it's before man, it may not be as transparent as it ought to be. But when it is before the Lord, you think very carefully, what exactly do we have that we should not humble ourselves when it comes to standing, or maybe kneeling, maybe even prostrating before the Lord. Before the Lord, let us have a glimpse of who we really are. First and foremost, before the Lord, we were sinners. We were His enemies. And therefore, as sinners and as enemies of God, dare we to lift up our faces and our head when we are in His presence? Just like those who are slaves captured in the battlefield, you think they dare to stand and stare the general, the king that have defeated and conquered their nation? Or should they just simply prostrate and beg for mercy? Now, even after salvation, after we have experienced salvation in Christ Jesus, after we have tasted the amazing and wonderful grace and mercies of God in Christ Jesus in our heart, no longer in the face of God as enemies, no longer as depraved sinners, but sinners saved by His grace. Isn't that another more true, sincere reason for us to humble ourselves? Because as sinners and as enemies, we may humble ourselves by force, simply because He is the Creator and we are the creature. Just like the soldiers who came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ that Judas brought. The moment the Lord Jesus Christ identified Himself, when they asked whether He was the one that they came to arrest, He answered and said, "I am." They fell spontaneously. It's not by choice. They just simply fell because they were before their Creator. It's not that kind of humility where we are forced to, but it is the kind of humility that we willingly do so in all sincerity. And that's the humble yourselves idea that James wants us to realize and understand. And should we not do so willingly, truly, sincerely? Having experienced salvation through the finished work of our Savior, and to know before God that the only way that we could become His children is that His only begotten Son had to endure so much pain and shame, and then to die. Should our humility in the face of the Lord not be genuine and sincere? The self-degradation should be willingly done. Because we are talking about before God. Sometimes we think that when we have been so highly regarded and treated in the world, Monday to Friday, when you go to work, if you are a very important person in your workplace with your titles and with all your academic qualifications and all your promotions, and day in, day out, hour after hour, you have so many of your people adoring you, respecting you, addressing you when you walk in, wishing you good morning, sir, good morning, ma'am. Before you even say a word, you have so many people kowtowing to you, bowing to you, respecting you, honoring you. Do you think it enters into our mind and our head that we think that we are somebody, so much so that when we are before the Lord, we forget that before the Lord, we are truly nobodies. We are truly nothing, but just simply sinners saved by His grace. Full stop. That's how David saw himself when he brought the Ark of the Covenant into his capital city, Jerusalem. He disrobed or unrobed his kingly garment. He dressed like a commoner, like all of Israel. So much so that when you look at this throng of people rejoicing as they biblically correctly carry the Ark of the Covenant on the shoulders of the four priests, offerings were being offered along the way. Musical instruments were being played so that the people were rejoicing, praising the Lord. From afar, when you look at the throng of people, you would see everyone in the same garment. There was no special distinction. Maybe the only ones that would be seen as different would be the priests, which they're supposed to put on their priestly garment when they are on such official duties. But other than that, the rest of the people, part of the 12 tribes, and David was from the tribe of Judah, and everyone who was there, including King David, David realized that he was not a king before the Lord, in the face of the Lord. He was just simply an ordinary Jew, an ordinary Israelite, part of the 12 tribes. Of course, before his people, he was king. Before his people, he has every right to put on his royal robe. But David realized the distinction at this very moment, based upon what they were doing, bringing the special Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, turning it from a political capital to a spiritual capital. He humbled himself in the sight of the Lord. Now we need to have this self-degradation all our lives, so that when we are promoted by the Lord, because the Lord says, and he shall lift you up, because when you are lifted up by the Lord, because of your humility, then you will remain humble. No matter how you will be promoted in years to come, it will not change you. Oh, in the eyes of the world, when you sit in your high post, the whole nation, the whole company, wherever you are promoted, they're going to still look up to you. They're going to call you by your title. And you deserve it, because that's exactly what your seat means, with your title, CEO or general manager or whatever it is, by all means. But you will remain humble, because in the eyes of the Lord, which is the true position that you must never forget, which Joseph and Daniel never forgot, they remembered that they were just simply sinners saved by grace. And that's why the constant and common refrain that God used to describe Joseph was, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. In the case of Daniel, I believe it was what it stated in Daniel chapter 1, when he was just a teenager before his promotion. It was said that Daniel, he was determined in his heart never to defile himself, even if it means losing his life, which he was asked to do, literally, when he was in his 80s, where the Babylonian Empire was overturned by the Persian Empire, and he was thrown into the lion's den for that, never to defile himself. It was something that characterized his life from beginning to the very end of his life, because that was the record of the final act of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den from a chronological perspective. Never to defile himself, because before the Lord, he sought only to please him. And to do that, self-degradation is something that is sincere, true, and genuine, because before the Lord, in the face of the Lord, we are truly nobody. Even though the world will continue to make you into a somebody. But this is the secret of biblical promotion, isn't it? True, genuine, sincere self-degradation. So that when the Lord promotes you, you never forget him. You never forget your position and your place in his holy presence. And that is what we need nowadays. That's exactly what we need. What is it that will cause us to forget who we are? Well, verses 11 and 12 give us a second idea concerning biblical promotion. Criticism. See, when you and I criticize the people around us, why do people criticize? Jealousy, envy. Well, they get promoted above me. They get promoted ahead of me. The person is my junior. He's not supposed to be promoted. I am more hardworking. And so, criticism. And so the Lord says in verse 11 and verse 12, that's the second secret to biblical promotion. Stop criticizing others. Stop being jealous. Because sometimes you think that, well, if I really truly humble myself and I work hard, therefore the Lord will surely and automatically promote you. Not necessarily, because we need to learn. We need to learn. You look at Joseph. How long was he in that state and condition of a slave to Pharaoh? And then later on to be thrown into prison. Now, we do not know how many years he was in prison exactly, or how many years his life was as a slave to Pharaoh. But we know the sum total, because the Bible said that he was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. And he ended up in a Potiphar's house. Potiphar bought him. And the Bible said that he became the prime minister, the second most powerful man in Egypt at the age of 30. And that means his period of humiliation, of learning, humility, trusting in the Lord that no matter how difficult the circumstances were, you remain humble and faithful, trust in the Lord. 13 long years to prepare him so that when he became the second most powerful man in Egypt, when he got promoted and remained in that position for the rest of his life, he must not fall. To arrive there would be easier than to remain there. Do you not agree? But the moment you start criticizing and you start bad-mouthing other people, and that's where the problem comes. We're not talking about other people. We're talking about other brothers and sisters in Christ, other believers. And very often within Christianity, within the same church. And that kind of bitterness and criticism is going to reveal that you are no longer humble. You are now bitter. You think that person does not deserve it. You think you should deserve it. Now, how could that person be called humble when he thinks that I should deserve that promotion and not the other person? That's why people criticize, is it not? And so the Lord says, speak not evil one of another. Now, this construction of prohibition is to stop an action in progress. That means there were people who were really speaking evil of one another. And this one another is one another in the household of faith. It's not one another in the world out there. That's how we know that it is within Christianity. It is within the same church. It is within the same fellowship. One of another of the same kind. Fellow believers, in other words. Why do we want to speak evil of fellow believers? And so the Lord says, you and I have to stop that. That person probably did not get the kind of promotion he wanted. Therefore, there was no self-degradation. There was no true humility, because a person who truly is humble before the Lord, he will rejoice with those who are rejoicing, who are promoted. He doesn't compare and compete. He is very, very contented with whatever position that the Lord has blessed him with, because he is godly. And is that not what the Bible teaches us? Godliness with contentment is great gain. That is not only a biblical truth, that to him is also an experiential truth in his heart, in his soul. And therefore, a person who is truly humble, that person will not criticize. And the person who criticizes is a person who ceases to be humble. He is now jealous. He now hates those who are promoted above him, who is rewarded above him, because he thinks that he should be given the reward, not the other brother, the other sister. And so the Lord says, this has to stop. Brethren, do you not know that he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the Lord? What does that mean? Now, we are not talking about we do not judge. We should judge. I mean, we are living in a world where we all judge all the time. From the moment we open our eyes and got out of bed, a judgment begins. Okay, some judgments are necessary because it's called discernment. We need to make proper judgments in what we do and what we should not do. Discernment. And we should judge also people. But verse 11 and verse 12 is about censorious judgment. The judgment that is evil, the judgment that is wrong, the judgment that is based upon jealousy and envy, that is not based upon truth and righteousness. We should judge. We're supposed to judge. We are taught to judge. Well, the Bible says, for example, do not cast pearls before swines. That means do not waste your time, do not waste the gospel on people who are abusive, who openly told you, I don't want the gospel. Get away. So, you judge, you evaluate it, since this person doesn't want it, you shake the dust off, you move on to another person who would appreciate the gospel. Now, you just made a judgment. The Lord has taught us to do that. In other words, don't force the gospel on anyone. Don't demean the gospel. The gospel is the very good news. If they do not want it, don't force it down their throat. You make a judgment. But the judgment mentioned here is the evil and the wicked kind. And that is why the Lord warns us. You speak evil of the law. In other words, that brother is walking rightly according to the law of God. That brother has not done anything wrong. And that means the Lord is pleased with that brother. But you are displeased with that brother by your criticism, by your censorious judgment. You are finding fault with him when the law, the Lord himself, according to the law, does not find fault with him. But you do. In other words, you are saying that you are better than the law. You are better than God because God looked at him and said, I am pleased with his life. But by your criticism of him, you are saying that I am not pleased with his life. And so you go around here and go around there gossiping and trying to slander and destroy his reputation. When God says he is pleased with me, but according to you, because of your criticism, he is not, you are not pleased with him. And that's what the Lord here means. You speak evil of the law. When the law is obeyed by him, he is living a life where the law is a lamp unto his feet and a light unto his path. He has not done anything wrong. In other words, God is warning all gossipers, all slanderers, all those who misrepresent anyone who is a Christian. And that person, if he's living according to the laws of God, you find fault with him. That is a very serious transgression that you have committed against God and that person. But more so God. How do we know? The Bible said so. You now become a judge of the law. When you judge a brother who is in obedience to the law, you now become a judge of the law because the law says it's fine. That person is using the law as the guide in his life, the Ten Commandments, for example. And so he obeys the law by keeping the Sabbath day holy. He obeys the law by not committing adultery. He obeys the law by not coveting, by not killing, by not bearing false witness. He honors the Lord. He worships the Lord. He makes sure that he does not break the commandment, any one of them, all of them. But you went around telling people that he's a liar. You went around telling people that he is covetous. What does that mean? You are now saying that you are better than the law. You are now seated as if you are the judge of the law. Now, who is the only one who is the true judge of the Ten Commandments? The one who gave the Ten Commandments. Did you give the Ten Commandments to Moses? Were you there? Obviously not. Who is able to save and to destroy? And that's God. Who art thou that judgest another? But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. The Ten Commandments were given by God. We are all to be the doers of the law. We do not sit in the position of a judge of the law. Only God can do that. When you and I spread lies, when you and I gossips, when you and I criticize another person by saying things that are not true about that person, whose life is lived in accordance to the law of God, where the Lord is pleased with him, the one who gave us the Ten Commandments, the judge himself, God himself, the creator, is pleased with his life, but you are not pleased with his life because of your criticism. That's why the Lord says, stop. Stop. Do you think by your constant unhappiness, bad-mouthing of others, and there are people who are like that, they just love to criticize. They go around criticizing. Somehow this becomes their nature and character and their characteristic. They can't seem to see goodness in others. They can't seem to find the good things to say about others. But the juicy news that they love to speak of others are usually negative, to tear down, to bring down. Why is that? The nature and characteristic of a child of God? That should never be. That kind of characteristics belong to the children of the devil. Not the children of God. The children of God would not behave like this. And if tonight's lesson describe you, that we have been bad-mouthing people, that whenever we speak of this person or that person is usually negative, then we have to stop. Because that's what verse 11 says. Stop speaking evil one of another. Remember reading Spurgeon, how he described such a transgression. When a child of God speaks evil of another child of God, to another child of God, do you know what happened when that takes place? Number one, I, who spoke evil, have sinned. And to the person who I gossiped to, I caused him to sin. Because now he has heard my sin, and if he believes me, I have caused him to sin. Of course, if he rebukes me, that's good. But if he does not rebuke me, and he agrees with me, I have caused him to sin as well. And then the party that I lied against, I sin against him as well, even though he might not be aware of it, because of my gossip, because of my evil speaking. Three transgressions occurred all at the same time because of one action that I have done by my gossip, by my evil speaking. Do you know that this is exactly what the devil sent his followers to do? Do you know that when the devil sent his followers to malign and to slander someone, God's child, this is exactly what the devil sent his followers to do. In other words, why are we doing the work of the devil as a child of God? Why are we making the devil so happy? Why are we making the evil plan of the devil so effective as children of God when we go around bad-mouthing and gossiping, destroying three persons' lives, including your own? And if you are truly a child of God, our plea to you is stop. Stop speaking evil one of another, your fellow believers. You are putting yourself in the position of God. When that person is obeying the laws of God, he is pleased with that child of God. But you are not. You now sit as judge of God's law, making yourself better than God, better than the laws of God, because you say that he is a sinful person. He's a slanderer. He's a liar. He is a covetous person, but he is not. And you know he is not. And it is only out of envy and jealousy that you speak evil. And you know that. And as a child of God, how could you continue but to truly and sincerely repent? The true secret of biblical promotion is when God's children are genuinely, sincerely humbled before the Lord. And when the Lord knows your humility, he will promote you. In positions of leadership, we are not talking about promotion in the world out there. It could include promotion in the world out there, like what happened to Daniel and Joseph, because God has a very high plan for them in their lives. Daniel was the prophet in Babylon, reaching out to the elite in the Babylonian Empire. Ezekiel was the prophet of God, who also ministered in Babylon, but he ministered at the ground level to the thousands of Jews and Israelites who were also in exile. So the Lord cared for both parties so that those who are in the elite, in the position of power in Babylon, they will be given the privilege to also hear the gospel and to see the lives of truly born-again believers like Daniel and his three friends, so that they could also come to know Christ as Lord and his Savior. And by God's grace and mercies, King Nebuchadnezzar became a Christian, as the Bible recorded for us in the book of Daniel. It is more than just getting promoted. It is to be in position of high honor and remain there in humility to be used by the Lord for the extension of God's kingdom and for the building up of the faith of God's people. That's the concept of biblical lifting up. Not only to be lifted up, but to remain in that position, the high position of responsibility in all true humility, so that you can be a greater blessing to God's people and for the extension of God's kingdom. Don't seek promotion. Don't seek to be lifted up. Seek humility and wait for the Lord to lift you up in his time, because the Lord knows the best time for you to be lifted up, and you remain in that position in holiness, in godliness, in righteousness, according to Scripture. But when you try to be promoted, to lift yourself up in your time by the arm of the flesh, you will succeed. And we have seen many people succeeded because they play what is called church politics. They use money power, money influence to get themselves in those positions. And sadly, some leaders allow that. And that is the beginning of the end of the church. Many churches have died because the wrong people, carnal people, worldly people, are put in positions to make spiritual decisions, which would be an impossibility. How could carnal people make spiritual decisions? Impossible. And I've seen that many times in other churches and in the past in our own church as well, to our own hurt. There's nothing wrong with promotion when the promotion comes from the Lord. When the Lord knows that your humility is true, sincere, and genuine, and when you have learned it well, the Lord knows that when he promotes you, the humility is really ingrained in you. And no matter how many levels of promotion he lifts you up, you will remain humble, and you will cease from all forms of jealousy or criticism, because you know in your own heart of hearts, to criticize someone out of jealousy when that person is living according to the word of God is to make yourself a judge of the law and not a doer of the law, which means you sit in the position of God himself. And that is a very serious offense against God, to think that you are equal with God by your gossip and your criticism. When that person is living a holy life according to scriptures and is pleased with God, and God is pleased with him, but you are not. So be very mindful and careful. The secret to biblical promotion is simply self-degradation, true, genuine, sincere humility, because that's exactly who we are. Sinners saved by grace. Never forget that. And when promotion comes, when God lifts you up, you will be fine, because you will never, never stop praying. You will never stop leaning upon him to guide you, to keep you. No matter how man may praise you, a man may adore you, you can't stop them. Just like David could not stop the women who sang. Saul had killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. But what you can do is, you don't have to believe them. You just give thanks to the Lord and always divert all the praises of man to the Lord. And truly from your heart, you just simply say, in true, sincere humility, praise the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O Lord, that with Christ in our heart and with the mind of Christ in us, we know that no matter how high you may lift us, we may remain humble before thee always, just as you show to us in the lives of your servants, Joseph and Daniel, and many others. Help us therefore, O Lord, to remember that true lifting up has to come from thee. And in our own good time, you will lift us up when you know that we are ready, so that by that lifting up, we will not stumble and fall. Teach us therefore to always be humble before thy holy presence. And when we are truly humble before thy holy presence, we will also be humble before men. Help us, O Lord, to stop criticizing and to stop finding fault in fellow believers, but to rejoice with those who rejoice and to weep with those who weep, and to truly trust in thee and to be thankful for the promotion of others and to rejoice with them and never to criticize or to be envious of them. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, for the many times when we have committed that transgression of jealousy and envy and gossip. Teach us, O Lord, to always bite our tongue and to say what we mean and to mean what we say, and to forgive us of the sin of slander and criticism, and teach us to truly be humble before thee, for we are truly always and always will remain as sinners saved by grace before thy holy presence. May thy Holy Spirit bless our heart, and may the word of life sanctify every heart tonight. And may the word of God take root, and your children who have received thy word bear much fruit in our hearts and in our lives as we relate to one another in these last days. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Good night, and God bless.